Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, Text 13, chapter entitled King Chitrakedu's Lamentation. Natasya Sampadaha Sarva Mahishyova Malochanaha Sarva Homasya Bhuste Cheyam Avavan Pritihetavaha Na, not, tasya, of him, Chitraketu, Sampadaha, the great opulences, Sarvaha, all, Mahishyaha, the queens, Vamalochanaha, having very attractive eyes, Sarvabhaumasya of the emperor, Vuhu, land, cha, also, yam, this, abhavan, where, pritihetavaha, sources of pleasure. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. His queens all had beautiful faces and attractive eyes, yet neither his opulences, his hundreds and thousands of queens, nor the lands of which he was the supreme proprietor were sources of happiness for him. There is no purport, so we'll go to the next. Text 14, translation. Once upon a time, when the powerful sage named Angira was traveling all over the universe without engagement, by his sweet will he came to the palace of King Chitraketu. Text 15, translation. Chitraketu immediately stood up from his throne and offered him worship. He offered drinking water and eatables, and in this way performed his duty as a host to a great guest. When the Rishi was seated very comfortably, the king, restraining his mind and senses, sat on the ground at the side of Rishi's feet. Text 16, translation. O King Parikshit, when Chitraketu, bent low in humility, was seated at the lotus feet of the great sage, the sage congratulated him for his humility and hospitality. The sage addressed him in the following words. Text 17, translation. The great sage Angira said, "My dear king, I hope that your body and mind and your royal associates and paraphernalias are well." When the seven properties of material nature, the total material energy, the ego, and the five objects of sense gratification are in proper order, the living entity within the material elements is happy. Without these seven elements, one cannot exist. Similarly, a king is always protected by seven elements: his instructor, Swami or Guru, his ministers, his kingdom, his fort, his treasury, his royal order, and his friends. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As it is quoted by Sridhar Swami in his Bhagavatam commentary, Swami Atmanav Janapada Durga Dravina Sanchaya Dando Mitram Cha Tasyaitaha Sapta Prakritayo Mataha. A king is not alone. He first has his spiritual master, the supreme guide. Then come his minister, his kingdom, his fortifications, his treasury, his system of law and order, and his friends or allies. If the seven are properly maintained, the king is happy. There is something going on. I'm sorry. I feel like something is coming to me and I am speaking. But something different written here, so clashing. So if these seven are properly maintained, the king is happy. Similarly, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin Yatha Dehe, the living entity, the soul, is within the material coverings of Mahatattva, ego, and Panchatan Matra, the five objects of sense gratification. When these seven are in proper order, the living entity is in mood of pleasure. Generally, when the associates of the kings are quiet and obedient, the king can be happy. Therefore, the great sage Angira Rishi inquired about the king's personal health and the good fortune of his seven associates. When we inquire from a friend whether everything is well, we are concerned not only with his personal self, but also with his family, his source of income, and his assistants and servants. All of them must be well, and then a person can be happy. Hare Krishna. So welcome to this morning Bhagavatam class. And thanks for your interest to come and hear about these wonderful pastimes described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Here we see how King Chitraketu, despite having so many things in this world that one can ever think of, is still unhappy because just one thing is lacking. Just one thing is lacking. He didn't have a child. Are you able to understand my English? Yeah? Okay. In case you can't, you can stop me. I'll repeat. So this world is such that we don't see how much we have, we see what we lack. It is something kind of inevitable. Especially in conditioned life, it is something. It's like you have fully developed body, all the limbs are healthy. But if there is one small little scratch somewhere and it is giving little pain, it attracts our mind. And we're troubled by that. So Chitraketu, he was having everything. Land, the ministers were obedient, servants were obedient, absolute sovereignty, and beautiful queens, good health. Everything was there. But his queens couldn't produce a child. So he was totally unhappy. So this is how the things in this world is. Even Arjuna, when he was standing in the battlefield, you know, he was also lamenting. He was in doubts whether to fight or not fight. Because he was thinking, even if I get all this huge kingdom, all the wealth, all the power, but if I don't have my relatives, you know, all of them are dying. Even if these brothers are, you know, foolish and they're like, they're fighting for something, then they shouldn't be doing. Still he was thinking, how can I enjoy without these people? So, for a perfect enjoyment, there are so many conditions in this material world. It is almost impossible. Srila Prabhupada has said, spiritual life is difficult. Material life is impossible. You may not like this statement, but it's so true. It's so true. It is true. So yeah, this king, he was having abundance of everything. But he was not happy. And when we are not happy, our opulence, our knowledge, our associates, our friends, relatives, servants, nothing can help. Nothing makes sense. When you're unhappy, nothing makes sense. And even if one has a lot of knowledge of material knowledge, also spiritual knowledge, even if one has, they don't help much. How many of you have this experience? See, if you're unhappy, even if you have a lot of material skills, you may not feel like doing anything. Happens, right? And even if there is knowledge is there, spiritual knowledge, you're not body, you're spirit, soul, Krishna is Supreme Lord, Supreme Goal, Supreme Lovable Object. All this knowledge also doesn't help, even if you're not happy. So remaining happy is a very, very important aspect of our life. Oh, Srila Śrīla Prabhupāda keeps saying, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So some of Srila Prabhupāda's disciple, he came to Chopadis many years back. I actually forgot who this devotee is, Prabhupāda's disciple. But I clearly remember him saying that when Prabhupāda says, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, it is not just a, quote or just a something he's saying. He says it is an instruction. It's an instruction. Be happy. Stay happy. So it's an instruction. That's not just something that we have to be happy, So remaining happy is a very important aspect, spiritual as well as material life. Otherwise the skills, the knowledge, they don't help. So in this situation, Chitrakatu Maharaj, he was totally unhappy and nothing was working. But what possibly helped him is his humility. That humility actually rescued him from all this dangerous situation. So despite all these things, that quality of humility which he was carrying in his heart allowed him to serve Angira Muni. With all attention, with all love, he was not, because of that humility, he was enthusiastic to serve Angira Muni. Despite his own life is devastated. His own life is gone. There's nothing, he's not expecting anything out of it. He says it's over. He tried so many ways, so many different things. It just didn't work out. So he was given up. So, but what helped him the most was his humility. Such a fantastic quality. Lord Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, there are 20 items of knowledge. Right? And the first item of knowledge is humility. Right? Because without humility, nothing can start. There is no start. And pride is the enemy. Pride is the enemy. False pride. So because Chitraketu is such a great person, why is such a great personality? Why is spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam? Because he had that humility. And he simply just when he saw Angira Muni, in that humility, in that love, he forgot his miseries. For a moment, for some time, he kind of forgot all these things. He says, here is a great personality. He has come out of his free will to my kingdom. So let me worship him. Let me offer him all good things. So I offered him water, offered him a seat and sat next to his feet. And he was, when Angira Muni saw that, he was very pleased. And out of his compassion, he's going to help Angira Muni now. And he is a great personality, Angira Muni. He's associated with Lord Narada Muni, Devarshi Narada Muni. Great sages are so great. They can see past, present, future. They are beyond the modes. They can easily see things very clearly without being attached, without being getting influenced, affected by it. They can see things clear. So he could see that this Chitraketu, although he is such a nice person, with everything, all spotlessly clean person, with all opulences and everything, but his lamenting for something is not supposed to. Jai Shri Panchatattva Bhagavan ki jai, Gaur Nitai ki jai. So he thought he needs help, and he was trying to help. And when we read all these pages, we understand how the sages they deal with a person who is afflicted with material miseries. We have seen how Narada Muni is dealing with Dhruva Maharaj, for example, in previous fourth canto. And here we see how Angira Muni is dealing with Chitraketu. Such a nice conversation, such nice dealings with each other. And we can learn from all these examples how we need to behave, how we need to shape our life, shape our character, shape our attitude, dealings with others in a way that is helpful. Right? So he is asking in the beginning, in this verse that we, Parashara Prabhupada writes a purport to, that how are you? This question is asking, oh Chitraketu, how are you? And when he says, asking that how are you, it doesn't just that person, it includes everything. It includes his body, it includes his mind, it includes his ego, includes his inside and outside, his ministers, his subjects, the citizens, the kingdom, the climate. It includes everything. Nowadays, because we are so much in hurry, nowadays, unfortunately, I am also part of that rat race. because if you want to be in the world, you have to be with the world. And if you're with the world is moving fast, you have to move fast. Things like that. If you don't move fast, then you're not with the world. You're left aside. But the thing is, we don't have time to spend each other, asking about each other well-being, trying to help each other. These things are very much something going away in modern-day lifestyle. But here we can see how Angira Muni, he comes and he says, there is a nice statement here, I liked it very much. Once upon a time when the powerful sage named Angira was traveling all over the universe without engagement. So, I was like, my God, this is something fantastic. In one sense, it feels like as if he has no responsibility or no commitment anywhere. So he does things, pure service. It is pure service. When you say engagement, we say engagement when there is some remuneration, some kind of reciprocation, that is called engagement. But he doesn't expect anything in the return. Absolutely nothing. He does it out of his own pleasure. It gives him pleasure. And he gives pleasure to Krishna. So no engagement. It is not an engagement in the way that we think of this world. Everybody is engaged. Busy. So that's not the kind of life the sages used to live. They're free. They're actually free from everything. And that's not easy life. That's one has to transcend the modes to be able to do what they're doing. We can't imitate it. But that's something fantastic. And therefore he was able to, although, he was a great personality, still he could sit. He could spend time and he could ask questions. How is everything? Not just you, but everything. So, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport that a person cannot be happy if all the seven layers of things are surrounding him within and without are happy. Within, the body, senses, mind, intelligence, ego, they have to be happy. Without the people we live with, our surrounding, our people we're dealing with, family, friends, relatives, in the office where people work with us, our associates, our co-workers, juniors, seniors, all this area has to be nice, then only one can be happy. As I was saying in the beginning, there are so many reasons that we can be happy about, but there is just one reason goes wrong, we can be unhappy. It's like, you know, in the mathematics, there is a big equation, everything is plus, 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 inside all positive, but outside the bracket there is one negative sign. Have you come across a little bit of mathematics? That one negative can make the whole positive negative. And it happens. Have you seen such equations? So one may have all these beautiful queens, great kingdom, loyal ministers, loyal subjects, but one negative. Then all these positives become a bigger problem. You know, there's a big responsibility for all these things, and because of one thing, everything is neglected, and it becomes more troublesome in life. So therefore, to remain in proper order, one has to be happy in all these layers, and that's quite an effort. So what does it mean is basically, suppose for example, in our Hare Krishna movement, sometimes we depend on Krishna, that is fine, but sometimes we depend on Krishna overly for things, like yesterday I was saying, without taking responsibility. See, if I broke my hand, for example, while cooking I slipped and I fell down, I broke my hand, for example. And the kitchen floor was unclean, some water was there, I slipped, I fell, broke my hand. Then what should I do? Should I just chant Hare Krishna? What should I do? Please answer. Go to the hospital. Of course, keep chanting. I don't know. We can still chant while going to hospital, while doctor is moving, oh Krishna, and this and that. We can do all this thing. You know, but we have to go to the doctor, right? Otherwise, I'll be crying all for months. Right? So what I'm trying to explain is, when there is a bodily problem, it has to be addressed while depending on Krishna. Similarly, if there is some mental agony, emotional turmoil, we have to address it. We have to go to friends, relatives who can speak to us, who can pacify us, who can nourish our mind, nourish our heart. Just chanting Hare Krishna is not going to help. Of course, we have to chant Hare Krishna. Depend on Krishna, but then we need that nourishment. If my body is becoming weak, I need to eat food. Of course, you should eat prasad. Right? But I have to eat food. I can't just chant Hare Krishna. So, we have to nourish our body. We have to nourish our senses. We have to keep our senses. Like eating, for example. We just can't eat anything. It has to be properly, you know, cooked, the taste would be appropriate, then it is giving us happiness. In the same way, there are sweet words of care, love, you know, it nourishes our heart, nourishes our mind. And similarly, appreciation nourishes our ego. Like, you know, Lalit Govind Prabhu, for example, is doing so much of service. Like yesterday, Anand Prabhu was telling me he can make how many? 80,000 biscuits a day? 80,000, something like that? Or 1 lakh? 100,000? He's becoming serious. 20,000. So that's quite a big number. I mean, in our Chobati temple, we make 40 or 50 cookies a day for the deities, and sometimes we are not able to do that also. We have kept cookies as an optional thing there. We don't commit to Gopinath that will give you cookies every day. But sometimes we do, sometimes. But other sweets are like committed, but some are like this. It's quite tough. And the way organizing it, thinking about the quantity, the process, step by step, how to bake it and how to take it out, how to pack it, how to cool it. It's a lot of effort. Now, devotees, as devotees, when we serve, and like Sankirtan devotees going in rain, you know, giving out books. So this appreciation has to come our way, then our ego needs some nourishment, just like our body needs some food. Similarly, our ego needs some appreciation, our heart, our mind needs some care, some sweet words. So these are nourishment. And in the world, with so much of negativity all around, isn't it possible that we can do these things? We can't do these things. We are all humans with all our mind and heart and everything is intact. Why can't we do those things? If some negative thing can happen, why can't positive happen? It's very much possible, isn't it? So, if we nourish each other's body, senses, mind, ego, intelligence by giving proper engagement. So all this is nourished, then the person inside, the living entity, will actually be happy. And then the chanting is with more feelings. And when all these things are centered around Krishna in a very, very sattvic, very, very, you know, goodness, spiritual, and in a very pure way, then there will be an experience of spiritual ecstasy and will slowly, slowly transcend. Gradually will transcend these modes and in a very positive and very, very nice way move towards Krishna's lotus feet. So therefore, this care that Angira Muni is showing by asking this question in a very, very intimate way is showing how to win somebody in lamentation, but having good quality of humility, how we can help them to come out of all these lamentations. Hare Krishna. Yeah, thank you very much. So tomorrow I'll be leaving from this short journey, short stay here in Ljubljana. I would like to thank all of you for a nice session. Yesterday we had a nice cooking experience in Rajbhog. Many devotees joined and I didn't believe that I could cook so much in just 2.5 hours time. But devotees helped it to us. Quite possible we cooked a lot. I cooked so much that initially Anupru was thinking this is so much, who is going to eat? But then devotees were very merciful, they finished and freed me from that, you know. So today again we'll be making something nice. My Gornita is pleasure. Are any questions or comments? Yeah, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that these seven lower layers have to be satisfied. And we notice sometimes that devotees may argue about pleasing someone's ego. They'll say, oh, if I praise or if I, you know, then their ego will be more. This is actually not good. We should smash their ego. So can you please enlighten us a little bit about that?
Chanakya Pandit, some of his teachings are very nice. This smashing ego is something very, very sensitive. He says, the raising child, we know these things, he says, Chanakya Pandit says, that a child when between the age of 1 or 0 to 5, one has to pour all affection to the child. You know, all kind of affection. Everybody loves, you know, mother loves, father loves. Brother, sister don't love because they think their quota has been taken away by this new baby. but still, those sisters, brothers, they also need to love. As they grow, their love increases. But the point is, uncle, then aunt, and all these people, friends, relatives, everybody pours love to the child. Affection, affection, affection. The child thrives, happy. He knows, I have people who look after me. He has no worries at all. Right? I know, we have like full conviction in our parents. Mother, father, we have convictions. And that faith comes because of the care they give, the affection they give. I remember when I was a small child, like we had government quarters, two bedroom, hall kitchen, but our toilets used to be outside in India. You know, even the government made that kind of homes earlier. The toilets are outside, not in the main compartment. So in the night, sometime I would get nature's call to pass stool. And I'll be afraid to go out because of night time, darkness. And I would call my father that you have to come. I'll go to the toilet, you have to sit outside. Then only I can go. He would come and would sit outside. And in between I would say, are you there? He would say, huh, I'm here. From inside the toilet, I'll shout, are you there? I'm there. So these are small incidents. But they give so much of trust, faith, and in the relationship. And when I grew up, later Chanakyamati says, between 5 and 15, you have to discipline them. You know, discipline them means you have to say, this is right, this is wrong. This you can do, this you cannot do. So when my father used to discourage me to go to movies and things like that, although I was like, not happy with that, but I would accept. I was accepting. So he was in a kind of way smashing my material desires. But I never, there is no question of rejecting. Right? Because those 5 years or 6 years, 7 years, the kind of affection and love that invest, the parents invest, it makes you friend to them forever. And then after 15, Chanakyapandit says, that son whom you have disciplined or that daughter whom you have disciplined, they become friends. They become friends because they are not mature. They have their freedom, allow their freedom to manifest. Then when you allow that freedom to manifest, we can't say do this. We should say, what do you think about this? Should you do this or not? If you do like this, it will be like this. If you do like this, like that opinion we ask for each other. In the same way, in our preaching also, people come in the beginning, they're like child. You know, birth happens, second birth. They understand Krishna. They're humble, they're pure, they're inquisitive, they want to know. It's a very sensitive phase. That is the time when you have to nourish. Nourish like anything. Body, mind, senses, ego, everything we should nourish, appreciate. Then we discipline. Now because people are already grown up, when they come to Krishna consciousness, they may be 15, 20, 18, 25, 26, 30, 40, sometimes 50, 60. We cannot discipline them for very long. Like child gets a duration of 10 years, but we can discipline them. During the discipline, smashing ego and all those things is okay, fine. You know, that kind of clashes and getting angry, chastising, all those things, it's okay. But again, after that phase, we have to again come back, giving the status of friendship, where we ask opinion, we appreciate, we disagree, we agree, but appreciation has to be there for the goods we do. But because the appreciation is not there, the ego cannot live long without being nourished. People will go away from his Krishna consciousness. We don't have to appreciate for something they don't do, but we want to appreciate things they do. That is no false appreciation, but that should be genuine appreciation from the heart. So yes, there is a kind of friendship that will allow certain smashing of ego some hated moments, but we cannot discipline. Well, I have to make this person a pure devotee. No, that's not our task. That is Guru's task and first of all, Krishna's task. But our task is to help each other. Nourish each other. I agree, disagree is fine, but we cannot smash people's ego. That's very dangerous. And we need to appreciate. We need to appreciate because we need, just like my body, you know, Ekadasi is one day is fine, but every day if I fast, then I cannot thrive, I cannot survive, I cannot be happy. Similarly, ego, sometimes we can give some kind of dose, you know, but other time we need to appreciate, otherwise the person will die without appreciation. It's very necessary. In my personal life, see, I am an engineer from a very top class premier institute in India, IIT Bombay, very one of the best in the India actually. I started cooking in kitchen in ashram life, and it was a good engagement, you know, it would take my time away from thinking material thing, and it is the kitchen outside usually long and tiring, then you fall asleep after the whole thing. So I was away from material things. It was going good. But my ego was not happy because, you know, some educated background, you have other, you know, kind of respect that we get outside. It was not there. This cook doesn't have much to get. But my guru, Maharaj Raghunath Swami, somehow or other they tell you cook for him. And I cooked for him. And the very first day, I served him prasad that I cooked. He used to take those days with brahmacharis. For many, many years he took with us, 10, 15 years. Now, because of medicine and health, he is not able to. But he still tries to come sometime. He used to take. So he was sitting with all brahmacharis and he had his prasad. He came. I was standing just to thank him. And immediately he appreciated so nicely, so genuinely, that appreciation nourished my, you know, dying ego. So much so that immediately it just flourished, and then flowers, fruits, everything started coming out of this dying plant of ego. Instantly, I got life. And from that point onwards, I mean, I was just engaged, but that point onwards, I started actually cooking with a lot of effort and care and this and that and research. All those things I did after my ego started getting nourished in a way that I deserved, I think. I deserved that. In the sense, we do something, we deserve some appreciation, right? And that has to be duly given to devotees. And it helps. Otherwise I would not be cooking for all of you yesterday and today. I would do something else. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Thank you. It's about to be 9. Okay, 2 minutes.
Thank you for that answer. I liked it very much. I have another connected question. What if these conditions which are mentioned and the suggested actions that you proposed aren't available or fulfilled, how to bring about satisfaction of the mind without all of this? Because Krishna doesn't speaking in, for example, in Bhagavad Gita much about those conditions that has to be fulfilled, but he says satisfaction of the mind is kind of a necessity for practicing spiritual process. So how to bring about satisfaction of the mind when those things are missing, where environment is not very conducive for these things, for example, happiness.
Nice question. Thank you. Actually, Krishna is what you're saying. Krishna is trying to tell us do more austerity, not go for these things. You are saying like that. It is not like that.
I mean, he's suggesting be satisfied.
Yeah, That is austerity for mind, he says. But if you see, the whole Gita was spoken to Arjuna, who wanted to be a Vairagi, wanted to be a renounced person. He was told to fight because his nature was Kshatriya. Fight, he's saying. But how to discharge that duty of Kshatriya, you know, in a proper way, that is the whole subject of Bhagavad Gita. You have all our natures. Then somebody who is a renunciant, what is his quality, Krishna is saying. Somebody who is a Kshatriya, what is his quality? Somebody who is a Brahmana, what is his quality? Somebody who is pure devotee, what is his quality? It's 12th chapter. So different things are mentioned. But then he says we have to act in our role wherever we stand in this, you know, spectrum. And coming back, that so that is the whole point basically. Whatever I am, I have to be functioning in that element following the rules of Krishna's instructions. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Karo Krishna Shiksha. Or we follow Krishna's instructions. The Chaturbanda Maya system, Krishna says, the four orders are created by me. Guna Karma Vivagacha. We have certain qualities which we have got because of our deeds in past lives. And according to our guna, there is certain classification of activity, karma, which we have to perform. But how to perform it in a way that we elevate instead of going down? That's the subject of Gita. Is it answering your question? Yeah. So yeah, so that's what we have to do. We have to understand our role in a proper way and execute it. And in the process of execution, our desires may or may not be fulfilled. Like Angira, he doesn't have a child. So something like that may happen. Certain things we are getting, something we don't. But we should keep working. Karma deva adhika raste. Krishna says, we have all rights to work, but no rights to result. It is in his hand. No rights. Ma phalesu kadachana. Kadachana means from the beginning till the end, we don't aspire to own the results. So you are not entitled to the results. That means the result is in his hand. If he likes to give, he'll give. So that if that attitude can be maintained, then our passion for work will not stop. And that's the duty. That's the responsibility, you know. That what we can do, we must do. Something may come, something may not come. So that's fine. That's dharma. Without artificially trying to grab things which we are not entitled to. Okay, that's not entitled, fine, let's accept it. But duty we must perform. And that duty will nourish us to grow, to transcend, to all do all these things, it will happen. But then we have to find out where we stand and what we should do. That's important. Okay. Helping? So we stop now? Okay, Hare Krishna. So thank you very much once again. Krishna willing, again I'll be back. Hare Krishna.